Hello, this is Scott Myers, the superintendent of USD 363, here with you once again for our latest podcast. Today, we have a real special treat. I'm up at the high school working with Mr. Miller and three of his students, Zach, Ayana, and Selena. Mr. Miller is one of our English teachers. Last year, if you are a fan of our podcast, you'll recall our conversation we had. And being a former English teacher, I was drawn into the subject area because of my love of literature. Mr. Miller, on the other hand, though, it's more for his love of writing. Would you agree?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, so when I reached out to Mr. Miller about, hey, let's do another podcast because I really enjoyed ours last year, because fellow English nerds, it's fun to sit around and talk about English stuff, he had the great idea of bringing in some of his students who are involved in the writing process here at Holcomb High School. So if you would begin, Mr. Miller, just by explaining a little bit about the writing process that takes place here and then why we've invited these three particular students in.
So typically in a high school environment, a lot of the writing that you end up doing is based on the modes of the essay. And really that's preparing students for college level writing and helping them organize their thoughts in a logical way. So we have a typical process of like pre-write, draft, revise, proofread, publish. And we try to do that in different avenues, like expository writing, argumentative writing. And then sometimes less focused on is the narrative writing. But what I like to do in my classes is start with more of the narrative writing and let students get their creativity going, get some ideas out, and then it's more of a fun writing activity. And we can do the process with it and then go into more of the formal writing after that.
I don't know what your experiences have been, Mr. Miller, with this, but I do know in America, if you ask adults what is their number one fear, it's not death, it's not divorce, it's public speaking.
Right.
Being a former English teacher, it just hits me in the heart when I will ask adults and say, what are your opinions about writing? Almost many, great percentage of the people say, I don't like to write. Okay. I was working with a group of students in the high school a while back, and I asked that very question. Of course, people raised their hands. And of course, my question to them is, well, do you talk? Well, everybody talks, right? Well, writing is nothing more than a visual representation of talking. And so I always viewed it as my role to tear down those barriers of fear, if you will,
right,
about writing, and just get them writing, getting people writing. So, so you're starting off with narrative.
Usually, yeah.
And do you think because as you move into the other, that's a good foundation? Or what's your reason for starting with the narrative writing?
Honestly, I just think it's more fun.
Okay.
So I have students write like magical realism stories in one of my classes.
Magical realism.
Yep. So I have a student, Selena, here, who might be able to talk a little bit about magical realism.
Sure.
And what we're doing.
So Selena, within the genre of magic, prior to us talking today, I honestly never, maybe it's called something else that I know. Back from the olden days, I don't know. So how would you explain, if you're, it's called an elevator speech, in 2 to 3 minutes, how would you explain what is magical realism? What are the hallmarks of it?
I think it's like where you bring like fake stuff, like come to life, or like magical things. Like for one in my story, I used a crab that has human hands as legs.
Oh.
That's magical, obviously.
Would, like Harry Potter? Would that count as?
I guess, yeah.
Magical realism?
A little bit.
Okay. And so you did a crab with hands, okay, and then what else?
I also did a mermaid that showed up that it could fold like iron and stuff with just its tail.
Oh, okay. And so then what's the magical piece I get? What's the realism part of that?
Like real stuff that happened. Like my story had like a group of like high schoolers that came down to the marine biologist place.
Okay.
And they got a tour of like the ocean that was around the area, and so I guess that's the realism part.
Oh, okay. So then we make it so you want to write it in a way that people can identify mm-hmm. with it, and then putting the high school kids into these situations where they experience the magic piece. Oh, okay. What drew you to that particular form of writing? Why are you interested in that genre?
I just think it's funny, and it's like fun to write because you can just use your imagination.
Oh, okay. Cool. And so how have you experimented that in class, Mr. Miller? What do you do?
So I start, one of the first stories that I teach on magical realism is a very old man with enormous wings. It's Gabriel Garcia Marquez. He's Colombian.
I don't know that one.
And it's basically like an angel comes to this village and they treat him the way we would actually treat an angel, which is to like exploit him entirely and put him in a cage and charge people money to see him. And then when people stop being interested in the angel, because, you know, people get bored of stuff over time, then they just completely abandon the angel.
That strikes. That reminds me of, I don't know if you guys have Amazon Prime or, you know, one of those streaming services.
Yeah.
There's a series on right now called Carnival Row, which brings in fairies and unicorns. I mean, the whole mystic, magical realm, and they're living in 1800s London. And just interacting just in regular old life. So
yeah.
I guess that'd be an example. And you know what?
Definitely.
I screwed up here at the beginning. I did not have you introduce yourselves. Let's back up. Hello, this is Scott Myers. We're here for our podcast. I'm the privilege of working with Mr. Miller again today and three students. Let's introduce ourselves.
I'm Zach.
Zach.
Pinka.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ayana Gabara.
I'm Selena Aldana.
And what grade are you guys in?
I'm a junior.
Junior?
I'm a sophomore.
Okay.
And I'm also a junior.
All right. Now we can start our podcast. All that other stuff was just preamble. No, we're going to keep it. It was
just
good.
Edit it.
No, we're going to keep it. Exactly. We're going to keep it in. It's good stuff. All right. So along with the magical realism, what other types in the narrative, what other types of writing are we going?
So another thing that I like to do every year, unless I get very sidetracked, is...
that doesn't happen.
Yeah. I like to do with my students something called Zombie Week. So it leads up to Halloween.
Oh, around Halloween. I'm joking, of course.
No, it's, yeah. So we do like Poe Week, and then we do Zombie Week. And in Zombie Week, I have them work in teams. And the prompt is... Holcomb, or like the areas overrun by zombies, Holcomb's in quarantine. How do we survive? So they have to do a little bit of research, and they do informative essay as a group.
Okay.
So they have to plan it out and write what they do, what they're going to do. And for the most part, the kids get really excited, and they're just talking up a storm. They're planning what they're going to do. And a lot of times I hear people like, why am I getting so into this? Or like, I forgot I was in class. I forgot this is the assignment. So try to do something creative, something that they're interested in. And then they go through the process without feeling like, oh, this is so painful. I hate writing.
And one of the things that Mr. Miller struck upon here, and I'm gonna give you guys some Ed Psych 3 college stuff for you to think about. And go to your next class and tell your teachers about this. There's extrinsic and intrinsic motivation. We're all there's motivation in the world, right? Some motivations come because I want to win that ribbon, whatever. That's extrinsic. I get a reward. Intrinsic is when I'm just motivated because I enjoy it. Yeah, and so what you're talking about a little while ago is for the students saying, I forgot I was in class. I was just, this is fun. Well, that's moved over to the concept of being intrinsically motivated. I mean, think about your hobbies, your individual hobbies. The clock has no hands when you're engaged in your hobbies.
Right.
You're involved with it. And that's really where we're trying to get. And so good on you, Mr. Miller, for, you know, striking that chord to get people to that point of being intrinsically motivated. Now, I'm assuming you guys have watched Walking Dead. You know,
No. I haven't.
A little bit? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So that's even more so. That's even cooler then, because people to get motivated without having that pin, you know, it's been on TV for a while. Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah, I think people just like to try to plan out a survival scenario.
It's basic human survival, in my opinion. You just always think of like the what ifs that would happen. So you just want to plan out for it, but you never really can. Let's all be honest.
Well, because who knows what it's, you know. All I know is this, in times of crisis, slow down. But if you have a plan previously, you know, you have a better chance.
Yeah.
So, all right. So what you said so early on, you told me Zach won a contest.
Yeah. So speaking of extrinsic motivation, we did do a contest here this year for Halloween. I don't know why I get so into Halloween. But the idea was that it would be a Halloween story, and they would have some sort of moral, maybe. So Zach's going to talk a little bit about that.
And so you won a school-wide competition? What did you win?
I won a gift card. It was just a gift card.
Okay. That's all right, that's fine. To where? Where was it?
App Store.
Oh, okay. All right, that's cool. All right, talk about your, I guess, the process and or your story.
My story takes place on an abandoned farm or slash cemetery.
Okay.
And these two brothers are playing hide and seek with a dead body.
I hope they win. Or I hope the dead body's a really good hider.
One brother hides the body and the other brother has to go and find
it. Okay.
Yeah. So really morbid game of just like find and go.
Yes.
Scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
But how's it open? Like, what do the reader think is happening?
The reader thinks that a guy is trying to find like his like maybe kidnapped girlfriend or a lost relative or just someone that was taken away from him. And it just leads up to the point to where it's not what you think. And
that's cool. That's a good hook.
It takes a dark turn.
Get to show you my literature nerd, Shirley Jackson. That's The Lottery.
Yeah.
If you've not read The Lottery, short story by Shirley Jackson, go read it. But keep telling your story.
And so one of the brothers, he finds the body, but then he takes the body and hides it. And then he tells his brother that the water currents of the river are like not very great and they could take the body away, so he's got to hurry and go find the body.
Yeah.
Well, how cool. So how does it resolve itself? How does the story end?
It ends with the other brother going to find the body, and the brother says, "I love adult hide and seek."
How did he get the body?
I don't know where
I got the body. I don't know. We're shooting boys get a dead body. It's planning to go sequel.
I will tell you, though, what I think, in my opinion, one of the, I think, marks of good literature is it leaves me thinking like that.
Yeah.
I think, I know when I watch a movie, if I never think of it again, then it's just mind candy. I'm done with it, right? But if I'm reading something later on, I get thinking about it again, and I wonder. I like that because it means our gray matter is working. So good on you. Way to be.
Yeah.
What was your inspiration for that?
My inspiration is I watch like scary movies during Halloween time, and I've watched a whole bunch of movies in previous years, and it just like sparked an idea.
Uh-huh.
I also write stories occasionally, because back in eighth grade I actually wrote a story for one of my classes, and I just thought that it was fun because I could also, like Selena said, use my imagination. And I've written scary stories before back in my freshman year, mm-hmm. but I've never had them like published or anything.
Do you have a favorite author?
Stephen King.
Okay, there you go. Do you have a favorite author?
I like Rick Riordan.
I don't think I know him.
The author of the Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you. And that's right in the same genre. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Ayanna, what about you?
My favorite author is Mary Downing Hahn. She writes more ghost stories and stuff like that, like mystery. And I personally gravitate towards mystery.
Oh, okay.
It's just my fun hobby.
Okay. And then Mr. Miller said that last year you went along on the writing retreat.
Yeah.
What is the writing retreat? What happened?
So last year it was the beginning of second semester.
Yep.
We all walked in and he had a whiteboard with four groups. There was Alpha, Beta,
Gamma,
and Kappa. No, I thought it was Cosmos.
Oh, Cosmos.
Yeah, because I was in the Cosmos group. And he told us, like, each of these were, like, you know, how you can get your grades. So, like, Gamma was, like, you know, a C, I believe. Mm-hmm. Beta was a B. Alpha was an A. And then Cosmos was just, like, you're always going to have an A, but you also get a writing retreat. Each of these mean you have to put in more work for what you want to get.
Okay, so kind of like a goal contract type thing.
Yeah.
I'm motivated to get a B. That's all I want.
That's all I want. Yeah.
I'm motivated to – I want to go on a writing retreat.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Gotcha.
So he
intrinsically motivated.
Yeah.
You gotta go. I'm gonna give you a sticker. I have stickers. All of you will get stickers, but you're gonna get two.
I want a sticker, definitely. But so he had that there, and he went around and asked everybody. And I personally wanted a Cosmos because I thought a writing retreat would be really fun to go on. So as we do it, you know, he gives us, you know, your papers, and he tells you these are the goals you need to make if you want to go on the writing retreat.
Okay.
So we do it. I get to go on the writing retreat, and it was a lot of fun. We went to I call them the pyramids, but I think they're called the red rocks.
No, they're not red rocks. That's
no,
in Colorado.
That's the Colorado. You know those? They're the
limestone formations.
Yeah.
Monument rocks.
Yeah, but my family's always called them the pyramids.
What?
Yeah.
Where is this?
Yeah,
it's Scott City.
Okay.
It's very cool.
So we went there first, and we played hide and go seek for a little bit there. That was fun.
Did you find a dead body?
Unfortunately, no, we did not find a dead body.
No dead body. Well, Zach.
And then after that, we went to Scott Lake, which was really fun. And so we all just sat there. Mr. Miller chased the geese.
Oh, I did chase the geese.
That was
well, you have to have a topic on which to write.
Yes, we did. And he was, trying to, make a bunch of noise. He's like, just sit down, write what's around you. And for me, I really like to write short stories, just, really descriptive stories. So I started writing about the lake and the sounds. And I wrote somewhat, of a sad story. It was really short, a paragraph long. Mm-hmm. And it was about a girl had come to the lake because this is where her family had always come to whenever they were all together, and she had lost her family in a fire. And so for her, the lake was always associated with fun, laughter, all of it. And then she comes here by herself, and it's just quiet, and she can hear the crashing of the waves.
Yeah, you mentioned it's just only a paragraph. So what? To me, within the realm of writing, tear down the barriers. I learned just this year. I didn't know about the two-sentence horror stories.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that prior to this year. And then I've read some of those, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of spooky. but like I said, who says a poem has to rhyme?
Yeah.
Who says it has to be exactly 562 words in order to be, good on you. Mm-hmm. Write what is in the brain and what fuels you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so how many students went along on that?
Only a handful at least, because not
12.
Yeah, there was 12, but a few of them were sick, so they didn't get to go.
Okay, but let me back that up. So how many students did you offer the whiteboard choice?
All of them.
Are we talking 80 people? How many are we talking?
It was the
sophomores
now junior class.
Now junior class.
Yeah.
So I mean,
there's how many?
40?
Yeah, 40.
But a solid 12 of 40.
Yeah.
Said I don't want an A. I don't want a B. I don't want a or C, B, or an A. I want the
writing tree.
Omega or whatever.
It was Cosmos.
Cosmos. Yeah, yeah.
I want to go above and beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. 12 students set their sights on. That's a heck of a percentage.
Yeah.
To not just give my grade. I want to move on.
Yeah.
And that smacks of passion. It smacks of people who are really interested in it. Okay. All right. So what else can you tell us about the writing retreat?
Other than that, it was just a pretty fun time, to meet other people who like to write with you. Mm-hmm. And we all shared our stories with each other once we were done. Because by the end of it, he did challenge us to write, more short stories. And we were all going to present them together, at a cute little restaurant we went to. And so we all read them together, and they were all pretty nice. I personally liked it because you get to see a bunch of different people's writing styles, how they see the world, how they want to just perceive everything.
And when you're doing that kind of writing, by the finished draft, obviously you want it to be polished, you want the commas in the right spot.
Right.
But as a writer, the three of you are writers, when you're sitting down and just have an idea in your head and you just want to get it on paper, do you worry about the spelling? Do you worry about the grammar? Zach, you're shaking your head no.
I don't worry about that.
And why not?
Well, because you can just always, you can always improve later on.
Yeah.
If there's something you don't like, you can take it out and switch it with something else.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
and Selena, same thing for you?
I just like to write it how it is and then go back and just
go and fix
it. The stuff that's messed up.
And you're saying the same thing?
Somewhat. Because I for me, if I write on a computer, it has that little red liner in
right.
it, so it always gets to me. So I have to write on a piece of paper. So I can just continue writing without anything being there distracting me, wanting me to go back and fix it.
And I don't know about you guys, and Mr. Miller, I want to know your process in a moment as well. For me, it's really interesting. My handwriting is really, really bad. Look at my notes there. You can't read
anything. That's fair.
You can't read my and I don't know how to type. And so I start my hands on it. Yeah, so it's a great combination for a guy who is an English teacher. But the way my brain works, I'll be writing along, and let's say I'm concentrating on this box. All of a sudden, in my subconscious almost will write an entire another paragraph about that chair. And so then I'll have to skip down, I'll go find another piece of paper, and I'll write it, and just leave it sitting there.
Yep.
And later on, I might bring it in, might not, it might be a story fodder for later on as well. So on your writing process, Mr. Miller, do you worry about commas day one? Right when you were sitting down to do your own writing.
So I'm working on a book right now, and I'm on draft J. It's A, B, C, D, E, F, J. Right?
You don't want to use numbers.
Yeah. I was going to do numbers, and then I was like, I'm a writer, I'm going to do letters.
There you go.
And the first draft, I just wrote it out on paper, I think. And then, so the second draft was typing it up. And then I've made, a lot of huge changes. So, taking out, I had three parts to the book. And my wife just read draft I over the summer. It's the first draft that she read. And she said, you can't have part two.
And yes, honey. Thank you, dear.
Oh.
I love you, but.
I thought that was the strongest part. She was like, it is not.
You got to have the truth.
You have to have the truth. Absolutely. So my wife is invaluable for that reason and all of the other reasons. But she is my best reader, and she just tells me how it is. So I worried about part two a lot, you know, getting the voice right, getting the character right, making sure the details are lined up, making sure the commas are correct. And now it's just going to be gone entirely. So,
Nancy and I, more, every sentence I've ever written is my favorite sentence.
Yeah.
So going back to edit, oh, it's tough.
Editing is tough.
It is tough because you put so much of yourself into it.
You do. Yeah. But I do work under the assumption that the first draft is going to be garbage no matter what. I remember in high school we read One Art. It's Elizabeth Bishop. It's a poem. Mm. The Art of Losing Isn't Hard to Master.
Okay.
Even though it seems like a disaster. Or whatever. I can't quote it exactly at the moment. But we read it, and it's a villanelle, which is a very complicated type of poem. Everything has to be just right.
Mm-hmm.
Like the lines repeat throughout the poem, and the rhyme scheme is very precise. The meter is very precise. Otherwise, it doesn't sound correct. And we just thought, well, this is an impossible thing to do. This lady just like jotted out this poem and it's amazing and she's a genius and I'm an idiot. And then
that's the purpose of writing, is for us all to realize no, not at all.
So then somebody had facsimiles of all of the drafts. And so then for the rest of class, it was like a 2-hour class, we just went through all of the facsimiles of the poem. And we got to the very first version of the poem and it was awful. It was like one of the worst poems we'd ever looked at. And just to realize this was her first draft. If she had just stopped there,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
we would have never had this poem that's just iconic and very meaningful. I think I taught it to you guys.
I don't remember.
Maybe not. Maybe it was the juniors last year. She is an American poet, so it must have been the juniors last year. But yeah, I think writing is really in... Like revising is writing for me.
Right.
So the first draft is just the idea. Second draft is like, I didn't really like that idea so much. I'm going to change it to this other idea. And you just keep fixing the idea until you say, this is the idea. Now I have to make the language perfect
gotcha.
As I can make it.
So worry about the editing. I mean, the mechanics.
The mechanics is later. Like, yeah, so, that like last stage.
Okay, so kind of heading in toward our time together, finishing our time together. What's the future hold for you? Selena, you're a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are your plans in the next 3 years?
Well, I plan to just do well in high school, maybe get a few scholarships and get into Wichita.
Go to Wichita State?
Yeah.
Are you planning on pursuing a certain degree or?
I don't know which degree to go for, but I do want to go to be a marine biologist.
Oh, okay. And Wichita State offers marine biology?
I'm not sure. I think I could go for my biology.
Okay.
And then just go
off
from
there.
And then
from there, certainly. Mm-hmm. How do you see yourself continuing with the writing and whatnot? I mean, Mr. Miller chose you guys to be here as a part of this. That means he sees something in you. So.
I think maybe if I do get a little bit of free time between here and there, maybe I could write just a little bit.
Okay.
As a hobby, maybe make it as a hobby.
Yes, and who knows? I mean, a hobby. I tell my own kids. I have 3 kids. Choose your third favorite hobby as your career, because then you're going to always enjoy doing what you're doing. Don't choose your first 2 because you still want to have a hobby. But yeah, if you could kind of, you know, foster that, who knows? Who knows where it's going to go? Okay. Ayanna, what are your plans? You're a junior.
Yeah, I'm a junior. Okay. I just hope I can graduate in one piece. I still have
note to self.
I still have my senior to go, and right now I'm. Very tired as a high school student, but for me, I want to be a psychologist.
Oh.
So mm-hmm. I would hope in my future that I can at least write a book once I graduate from college and get some experience as it. I would hope I can, but that's a very big goal.
See, I think there's a real crossover between psychology and writing.
Yeah, there is. I really like to find psychological like horrors and stuff like that,
because yeah.
then you see how it applies to the human brain and how it affects this person.
Exactly.
So that's like one of my other favorite genres, other than mystery.
Well, see, my wife and I mean, I like well, a variety of genres and whatever. But for Annette, it's very much about the human dynamics
yeah.
and the relationships and how things come together. And once again, that's kind of tied back to the psychology piece. So I can mm-hmm. see that. All right. Zach, what are your plans? You're a junior?
Yes, I okay. am a junior.
for today.
I plan to, I don't know what college I want to go to, but I plan to get a scholarship for sports, hopefully cross country or track. And then during college, I want to like write a story about how my college is going and what I'm doing. I think biography, isn't it? Yeah. Write a story about myself.
Well, I'm saying in modern day, I mean, the opportunities to blog and, I mean, just have put up your own, I mean, just do your own writing on the internet and find your space. You know, it's, you know, YouTube, of course, is all, you know, pictures and whatnot, but blogging's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. Journaling is what I'm thinking of originally here.
Right.
But you do have the world at your fingertips as far as doing that kind of writing. So, yeah. But you're not sure which university you're headed to.
No,
at this
I do
point.
Not.
But what subject area? You'd like to do some writing, but you want to go for cross country, but
criminal justice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. And I know there's opportunities for that in Kansas. You know, they exist. Where are you? Yeah, go find those dead bodies.
Yeah.
All righty, Mr. Miller, we are honing in on what Thanksgiving is. What, 2 weeks away?
Two weeks away, I think so.
How many weeks left in the first semester?
Oh gosh, I have no idea.
Four, five weeks.
Yeah, right. I think five.
Headed in, just where are you headed for the rest of the semester? What's going on?
So
for the what do these students not know is coming their
way? So freshmen are doing Romeo and Juliet, and the sophomores are doing Lord of the Flies.
Oh.
And they've got one more book project to do, so they should be reading an independent book. And I think that'll be the final, will be their last book project.
Lord of Flies always really bugged me.
Yeah.
The flies. That was a good one. I did not do that on purpose. It bothered me.
It should.
Yeah.
It should. Because it's anarchy, and it's what if we took away all of the stuff that's good in place? What would people actually do? Probably not good stuff.
Yeah, right.
Are you going to do that social experiment? Because I read about some English teachers doing this social experiment with their students where they're like, they leave like balloons or something on a table and they leave the room for like a good solid 30 minutes of class time. And they came back and none of the students had touched anything. And they were all like, you guys were supposed to do this. It's, you know, supposed to be like, what happens when society takes away all rules? And they're like, oh, we were. And then all of a sudden, it was just chaos.
Game on.
I mean, there's your reaction. Like, yeah. Everything was gone. Everyone had lost their minds. It was great.
I will tell you, I mean, we play school well, right? Yeah. And last time I was a classroom teacher, I hate to say how old I am, but it was 22 years ago, okay? But I remember I taught high school English as seniors, a lot of them. And one particular time, because that is really advanced class, I had them put their chairs in a circle, and all I said to them was, we're getting ready to take a test. Whatever score is the lowest, that's the score for everybody. I said, do the test. Okay, well, what I was providing them was the opportunity to tear down all the rules and do some cooperative learning.
Yeah.
It took, 20 minutes. And they all dutifully started doing their tests because that's how you take school. How you do school, right?
You
take your test. And then somebody said, "Now hold on a second. So if I get 100% and Zach gets a 2%, I get a 2%. I said, "Yeah, that's right. You'll get the same score." And didn't give any more hints at all.
Yeah.
Finally, because I said I'd answer yes or no questions. Right? Finally, one of them said, "So is it okay for us to work together?" I said, "Yes." Yes, it is. And so ultimately they got it. And, of course, they all did super well on the test because it became one big, you know, collaborative effort. And we are always, we're continually trying in our school settings to, once again, tear down those barriers.
Right.
And to me, it's about learning how to be a divergent and creative and critical thinker. And we happen to be doing it with English in here.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, having...
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So, anyway, thank you very much for spending your time with me. You all will get a sticker because I have stickers with me. I'm proud of you for all your accomplishments that you have done, and you did a very nice job with the podcast. Thank you very much. So with that, remember, this is Scott Myers from Holcomb USD 363, and it's the Longhorns leading the way. Talk to you next time.